We want to look to God's Word this evening as we find it in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. I will read through the first 11 verses of that chapter, and we will be giving our particular attention this evening to the verses 3 through 6. But first of all, let us again ask God for illumination as we look to His Word. God and Father, we thank You that You are a God who speaks. You are a God who has spoken in Your Word. You continue to speak through the preaching of Your Word. And we pray, O Lord, that Your Spirit would help us to understand, would open up our eyes to the truth of Your Word, would guide us as we now look to what You have revealed to us in the inspiration of men such as Peter, to write Your Word for our edification. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. The Word of God. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Peter describes life in his world, the day in which he was writing these words to Christians. He describes it in this way. He said, when you look at the normal lifestyle of people around you, the way they openly live their lives, and then consider the lifestyle of a believer, the way believers would live their life, he says that the world will consider it to be strange because of the way you, the believer, lives his life. I think very often in our own backgrounds, we have looked at things when we hear about the kinds of sinful lifestyle that are mentioned here, and we think about them and we say, those are the strange things. Kind of the opposite of what Peter spoke about. I think we are back to the situation that Peter speaks about. We have come full circle. We are once again living in the world. When we do not do the things that the world does or considers normal for life in all kinds of ways, not just the list of things that are here, whether it be with respect to homosexuality or abortion or lawlessness on the streets, whatever it is, the world would look at us as being the ones that are strange, that are not living a normal life. The reality is that the world we find ourselves in more and more is not something, it is not something new or strange. It is the unrestrained passions of the heart that we see coming to the forefront. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. It's been that way since the fall of Adam and Eve in sin. The thing to notice here, as we seek to examine this passage this evening, is that there is a distinction. There is a way that the world lives, and there is a way that God's people live. And there is a great distinction between them. Often, or for some, the distinction is more outward. You will see that there really is a distinction. It leads to separation. And ultimately, the difference is, in fact, how you stand before God. But again, first of all, to underscore, what we see here this evening is that when we look at the world around us, not just what we do on the Lord's Day, that certain people go to church and certain people don't, but when we look at life in its entirety, there is a fundamental difference. Those who have come, which is the situation that Peter is speaking to in his letter, those who came out of a pagan lifestyle, he says, you need to change. You can no longer live that lifestyle because the lifestyle of God's people is different. I always think it's very interesting and kind of an amazing thing. In Ephesians, Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says very clearly, okay, all of you people who are stealing, you need to stop it. Isn't that interesting? Because that was the lifestyle that they were used to. It says, now you are different. The difference is not what makes them the people of God, but the fact that they are the people of God. What is also clear is the difference was noticed. Unbelievers sought the lifestyle of believers, made no sense to the unbelievers, to the world around them. And so Peter speaks about the Gentiles. For we have spent enough of our pastime in doing the will of the Gentiles. The word here is used more generally, not just the difference between those who are or are not descended from the Abraham or the Jewish race. He's speaking about unbelievers. In one sense, you know, you have a tendency to look at people from other parts of the world and we say, well, they're not like us. They dress differently and seem sort of strange to us in many ways. But here's the point that we must not forget. Whether you have lived as a pagan, whether you have lived in the Roman world that Peter was addressing, or whether you have grown up in a faithful Christian home, living according to the direction of God's word all of your life, by nature, we are all the same. That is what has happened with the fall with Adam and Eve. The natural inclinations of our hearts are the human passions, even as some of them are listed here in this text. And everyone here this evening, you and I, as well as those who seem to be strange to us in often outward ways, we need to hear the truth of God, and we need to have the eyes of your heart opened by the power of the Spirit to understand what really is strange, what really is a lifestyle for God's people. So God revealed His truth so that the unbridled passions of the world in darkness would no longer continue. Simply put, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let me underscore that, it is the good news of salvation, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apart from that gospel, people will live according to their unbridled passions of the heart. It may not always be with the kinds of things that we are looking at here, but any time that we live our, or anyone lives their life, and any part of their life, apart from the clear directions of the Word of God, they are living by human passions, which are the passions of sin. I'm not going to take the time in great detail, with a couple of exceptions, to go through each of these listed lifestyles that we have before us here. But what is interesting is that just a simple reading, you might think that he's describing modern day life in our world around us in many different contexts, maybe with some few changes in its application. But it's the kind of lifestyle that we see very prevalent in our world around us, is it not? The overall impression of this list is simply living according to unbridled human desires. Now, in the context of the Roman world, which Peter is writing to, there were certain things which were prevalent as they come out in this list, but they're always there in different ways and different times. But I will just mention briefly the list, the word lust. We tend to want to use that in terms of man and woman relationship, but the word lust fundamentally just simply means a desire of the heart to sin. The desire of the heart to live in disobedience to God. He speaks of orgies. Orgies are described in its day as drunken, frolicsome fellow parading through the streets in honor of a pagan idol. Pagan idols were very prevalent in the Roman world, and that had relationship to that idolatry. And then he speaks about carousing, which is simply a drinking party. Now, there may be many people who are either very religious, apart from Christ, but still very religious in a sense, or very civilized, sophisticated, and perhaps do not participate in these activities mentioned here. In fact, they would find them somewhat repulsive. But ultimately, when they are following human ideas and not those of God, they are, just as these things listed here, practicing the lusts of the heart, unbridled human passions. We can go on and on about how awful these are. We can go on and lament about the things that we see prevalent in our world today, the things that we read about and see on the TV screen and in every sort of media that is available to us, which is constant. We can go on about direction of politics and of the media and all of those sorts of things. And we can talk about the lawlessness on the streets and cities calling for getting rid of the police force and what have you. We can say, what's happening? Where's our nation coming to? Where are these things coming from? It's getting worse and worse. I would say to you that the application is always changing, but nothing is ever really getting any worse, because it's always there in the unbridled passions of the heart. The ultimate difference then is not just in the obvious, whether someone gets drunk every other night, or goes to orgies, but whether the Word of God is indeed the authority and the guide for life. That's where the difference is really at. For those who ignore the Word of God in their life, they are continuing in their human passions. But those who have been truly called out of darkness allow the light of the truth of God to shine in their lives and in their hearts. I would caution not to think that the world is becoming worse and worse. We just don't know what to think. It may be more prevalent. We may need to be more on our guard about things. As I kind of indicated, things have switched the opposite. It's now once again we, the people of God, who are living a life that everyone else thinks is kind of strange. But it's simply living according to the human passions apart from the Word of God. Now there is certainly exhortation here by the Apostle Peter to his audience that he writes. And yet, I want to be very clear here, this is not a moral lesson. This is not a lesson on the part of Peter how you can be a better person or a more moral person. When it comes to understanding the idea of the difference, it is not you who makes the difference. Notice when we read in Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved by grace. And then we get to verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you do live your life, one that is seen, that it appears to be strange to the world, when you do live according to not the unbridled passions of the human heart, but according to the Word of God, it is but Christ working within you. So Peter is not calling for how you can better yourself before God. He is simply calling for you to understand what God is doing within you. That difference will be seen if absolutely not in an outward way, but it will penetrate the darkness. You know, in our world, the issue seems to be accountability. No one wants to be accountable for anything anymore. We have all of these, we are told that there are all of these, and there are many, sad to say. We have all of these sexual predators, and we are forced to deal with them because, well, that's just the way they are. The idea of sexual abstinence for teens is almost laughable in our world today. The biggest issue with respect to homosexuality is that we are to be accepting of people simply because of who they are. I can go on and on. But we need to understand what is happening, because there is a certain amount of truth to that reality. Yes, they are who they are because they are following the passions of the sinful human heart. That is just the way people are because that's what's natural to them. Unless the truth of God is revealed and hearts are changed, that is where they will be. We should not be surprised at all about these things. In the political world today, anyone who opposes abortion or homosexuality or any aspect of a godly lifestyle is considered to be radical, outside of the mainstream. And that is exactly what Peter says. They are surprised at that. It doesn't make sense to them, because this lifestyle is what is natural to them. But you and I as God's people cannot say as they do, well, that's just the way I am, I can't help myself. It is exactly the point that Peter is making here, why God has revealed himself to you, that your eyes might be open to the truth and those sinful desires of the heart might be overturned. When you look at the world around you, at your friends, at those whom young people might seek for future mates, at the lifestyle that you might copy for yourself. What is natural to the ungodly is no longer natural to the godly. There is a difference, and that difference is important. To say, I go to church, and my friends don't, but other than that, we're all the same, is not to really understand the effect of sin in the world around us. Now, in the immediate context, the difference sometimes had very serious implication. That is, in the day of Peter, if you did not do the things, did not participate in the idolatry of the worship of gods, for example, if you did not follow those things that the world thought was normal, the consequences could be quite serious. Be judged by the world. Even, perhaps, lose your life because of it. Young people of today, or of any age, think that it is embarrassing and uncomfortable when you not go with the crowd, when you do not use the language everyone else is using, when you stand up against a lifestyle that is sinful. Just think what it would be like to put your life on the line for that truth. So the ultimate result for us today may not be that drastic, but the world certainly does judge and considers that we do not really know how to live. Peter makes it abundantly clear that they will be held accountable. There will be a judging, both of the living and the dead. And those who live life fully according to the human passions, not knowing Christ and not knowing the truth of God, they will give an account. If not in this life, they will in death find themselves standing before the righteous judge. The difficulty that people face, and the issue that is very prevalent here in 1 Peter, is that though he calls the church to faithful living, doesn't mean that then everything's going to go well. In fact, these people were facing persecution. And so the idea of the difference is so that you can have a good life is ultimately only pointing to the eternal stand that we have with God. You and I will also stand before that same judge. We will be held accountable. And yet, the account for us is Christ. We stand before God as if we had never sinned because Christ had never sinned. We stand before God free from his judgment of wrath for disobeying because Christ has paid the penalty for us. But what is important is here is not the judgment which comes from the world, which is by God through Christ. Indeed, it is not easy. We do not like to stick out like a sore thumb. But you can no longer live like everyone around you because you are enlightened, not by the desire of the heart, but by the truth of God. Ultimately, the difference that Peter is talking about, and he concludes this portion in verse 6, for this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. The ultimate difference is life. Remember those who pursue the unbridled sin of human passion? Those who live apart from God, those who think that they are really living life to the fullest, that they are, what they're doing is normal, it is life. No, they're living in death. They're carrying out a living death, if you will. And for this reason, Peter says that that's the reason why the gospel was preached. that they would come to know that life is only found in Christ. Was the gospel fruitless? When people turned away from sin and yet were thrown to the lion's den and suffered for their life? No, because there is life beyond. But the life that we have in Christ, whether we live it here or whether we suffer here and someday ultimately live life in eternity, they have eternal life. That's the ultimate difference. There's even a difference here in the verbs that are used. Judged in the flesh is now. The ridicule, the maligning, even being put to death for the faith. It's a one-time event. To live in the Spirit is ongoing life without end. Also, what you face here on earth is by men. What you face in eternity is by God. Again, the difference. Are you concerned about what men say, what other people say, or are you concerned about what God says? God has provided for this difference, which is clear. Not only should we be repulsed by that life, not only should we not be surprised about what we see around us, and not even be concerned ultimately by it, because ultimately we know it leads us to be committed to proclaim the gospel, which does illumine the deprived life of the world around us. Ask yourself this question. What makes you different? There's all kinds of ways in our world in which people are different in one way or another. What ultimately makes you different? No, we do not seek to stand out by certain outward appearance, although certainly there is something to be said about how we do dress, or connection to a certain piece of real estate, but the clothing that you must wear, which does make a real difference, is that of the righteousness of Christ. That's the clothing that stands out. That's the clothing that makes the difference. You have been enlightened by the truth of God and know Christ as your Savior. I trust that you have. And then indeed, it is time to put away living by the darkness of the flesh and live in the Spirit. Let us pray. Our God and Father, what a joy. What a reminder to us that the world in which we live is guided by human sinful passions. We do not live according to those passions because you, Lord, have sent your Spirit, and the power of your Spirit is to change our hearts, to put down the natural inclination for sin, and to teach us from your word, to guide us from your word. May we truly receive the exhortation from Peter. Whether we have come from a pagan background or from a very serious, healthy Christian background, the struggle is daily, Lord, and we ask that we might take it seriously to put away those things of the flesh and to see that our life is in Christ. In his name we do pray. Amen.